Tonight I want to talk to you about pursuing excellence. Because the pursuit of excellence is not just a business slogan or a sports adage. Rather, it's a call for Christians everywhere. It's a call that every Christian must take very seriously. Christ and His church deserve our absolute best in every aspect. Should Christ accept less than our best efforts as being members of His body? When we consider what God and Christ have done for us, when we needed a Savior, God sent His absolute best. John 3 and verse 16. When Jesus gave Himself up for us, He gave His absolute best. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. So I invite you to consider two passages that show us the importance of pursuing excellence in our Christian walk. One is Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It's a prayer of Paul's, a prayer that Paul prays concerning Christians. He says, or wrote, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." What does Paul mean by approve the things that are excellent? Approve means to examine or to test and regard as worthwhile or judge as good. Things that are excellent. Excellent is a term that means to be more valuable than, to be worth more than, to be superior. So Paul prayed that Christians might grow in their love, grow in their discernment, to be able to discern between good and evil so they could regard as worthwhile the things that are more valuable, thereby choosing the best behavior and the best things to do. To offer our best to God, we need to use real knowledge and discernment so that we may approve the things that are excellent. What excellent things is God looking for that He will reward and praise? The answer to that question is found in what He will say in the other passage we should consider. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to be reading verse 21. You could read verse 23. It says the same thing as Jesus spoke to the five-talent man and then to the two-talent man. He said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." One of these days, Jesus is going to reward excellent service given by those, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, who have been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. If we are faithful to pursue excellence, then our best will be given to God and He will reward us. But to offer God our absolute best, we need to keep in mind the things Jesus will say. Jesus will say, "Well done." He will not say, "Well said." He will not say, "Well thought." He will not say, "Well supervised." He will not say, "Well directed." He will not say, "Well criticized." He will say, "Well done." James chapter 1, verse 25 explains that one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. A person who wants to receive praise from God must find something to do, with the door of opportunity being open to us, as Jeff spoke of this morning. There are plenty of opportunities to find something to do. The question then is raised by some, why are more not involved? The answer, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. For if the readiness, the eagerness, the willingness of mind is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has and not according to what he does not have. The main thing about serving is having a desire to do something for God. Do you want to do something for God? All works are important, so get busy doing something, whatever you do. Do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve, says Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. Jesus will say, "Well done." Well done indicates whatever we do, we should do well. Solomon commanded, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Jeremiah the prophet wrote, cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently. In a hit or miss fashion, Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. When we consider God's work, when God finished His work, it was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And Jesus, it is said of Him in Mark 7, verse 37, He did all things well. Use your talents for Christ and for His church. We should use our knowledge, our skills, our abilities in the pursuit of excellence. We so often do it in the workforce and in the workplace. We use what we have been given, what we have the ability to do, to pursue excellence in our work. If we then can give this to the world, why can we not give it to the Lord? Every skill given to us by God is needed for the Lord's work. The church needs you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 commands, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are directed to faithfully employ all of our God-given abilities and spiritual gifts. When we do not use what God has equipped us with, we are like the one talent man who hid his. What hidden talent do you have? What hidden service or ability could you give that no one knows of as yet? Give God your absolute best, and in the end, He will say, "Well done." Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful slave." Good is the term used in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. When Jesus said, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." To be good is to be God-like. To be like God is to be a loving person. For God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. Love is the more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 and following. And since Jesus has promised in John 5, verses 28 and 29, that all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to the resurrection of life, and to those who did evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. A wise person strives to be good and do good. Do you strive to be godlike? Do you endeavor to do godly things in godly ways? Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful slave." What does God mean by faithful slave? Jesus defined it in the previous chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 and 46, when he spoke these words, "Who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." The faithful slave is the one who carries out his master's wishes, the one who is faithful, the one who is to be counted upon to do what the master wants at any given time, but especially while he is away. A faithful Christian, it's not quite as redundant as we might think it is, for a faithful Christian is someone God can depend upon to be like Christ and serve and strive to be more Christ-like. Can God depend on you and me? Can God depend on us collectively to be faithful slaves? Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful slave." The term slave identifies a person who is legally owned by someone else and whose entire livelihood and purpose are determined by their master. A slave serves his or her master. Thus, Jesus drew a line and told us we must choose our master. Not all service is good, as some choose to serve mammon or money, Matthew 6, verse 24. Some serve misunderstood religion, John chapter 16, verse 2, Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Some serve the creature in idolatry, Romans 1, verse 25. Some choose to serve sin, Romans 6, verse 6. Others choose to serve their own bellies or selfish desires, Romans 16, verse 17. The writer of Hebrews, penned in Hebrews 12, verse 28, "Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." We can serve ourselves. We can serve other vain pursuits. Or we can serve God with reverence and awe. Since God has given us a kingdom which cannot be shaken, what should be the choice of our master? We should serve God. And we should serve God out of gratitude, showing our gratitude for what He has done for us, rather than serve for the sake of trying to gain entrance into heaven, rather than to serve to be seen by men for the efforts of being rewarded here by them. We should let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. When we show our gratitude to God by what we do, others will see the gratitude is directed to the Father. Thus, look for two areas in which you may serve. Look for areas to serve in the worship services. Do not be one of those who have to be drafted into such a service. Every man ought to be willing to gladly serve within the Lord's body and on behalf of the Lord's body in worship to God. Nor be the type of person that needs constant prodding, poking and pushing to come along into service. Faithful slaves willingly, gladly do what is needed for their master when they love their master. Christians indeed serve willingly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says that whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you do not know how to do a certain area of service, take the initiative to learn and gain other talents. Commit to learning how to do what needs to be done. After learning how, if the skill or talent is just not yours, try something else. Jesus promised in the latter part of John 12, verse 26, "If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." To serve means to address the wants and needs of others. So in the second area of service, look to serve others outside the walls of the building that will bring those people to the building for worship, to glorify your Father which is in heaven. The work in the church, the work outside the church building, both are equally important. Both are required of us. Do we serve God and His Son, carrying out their mission and commission to us? Or do we serve self, sin, or Satan? When we pursue biblical excellence, we are striving to be better Christians. This desire to improve our Christian walk and talk for God's sake should be constantly on our minds. And it should be at the forefront of our minds concerning the direction the elders have given us. Now is the time to pursue excellence in everything that is done by this body of believers for God. The elders of this congregation have chosen to pursue excellence, pursue the better way. The elders are equipping themselves to do more things and do them well. We should encourage them in their learning, encourage them in their growth, encourage them in the things that we see they are improving in. But the elders are also equipping or working to be more God-like and more faithful in their service of shepherding. And we should pursue the same, working to be more God-like and more faithful as a sheep, following the good shepherd first and foremost, but then following the shepherds he has given to us. The elders also are striving to better serve you. And they're doing it for Christ's sake. The inventories, they're just a short version, a short way of getting to where they want to be. Oh yes, they could spend all the many days and hours that it would take to go around and visit with each member and get all of the information that's needed. Or they could take the short track, get the information from you, and put it into practice. Puts you to good use first and foremost, but then make sure at the same time your needs are being met. But you can't have one without the other. You cannot always be one to receive services from the church and never give services to the church. Will you approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God? Will you pursue excellence, or will you resist improvement? God is looking for followers who will do something. Do it well. Do it in a godly way. Do it with faithfulness. And do it as a service for Him. When Jesus comes again, He's going to be looking for faith on the earth. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Where He finds faithful service, He will reward it. As He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. So if our Master were to return right now, would you hear the judgment, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your Master." Or could it be said to you, "You wicked and lazy slave," Matthew 25, verses 26 through 28, "You knew I reap where I did not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you ought to have put my money into the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him or her and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Jesus has given His life for us. And in the pursuit of excellence, we must give to Him our absolute best out of gratitude, not out of a have-to attitude, but I want to be found faithful as faithful slaves, given over to our Master. He calls us to believe and trust in Him. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. He calls us to repent of our sins, from which we need to be saved. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. He calls us to acknowledge our belief in Him. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Then be faithful. Faithful until death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. God will reward those who pursue excellence in their service to Him, and the reward will be the crown of life. Eternal life can be yours. Forgiveness of sins can be yours. The power and all that is needed in supplies can be yours if you come to God. Will you come? As together we stand and as we sing.